The Irish Times, election 2011.
Now, after 3 weeks of campaigning, endless talk, it's all over. It's time to vote. The polling stations are open. And we have, in many people's view, one of the more complex electoral systems in the world. One wonders sometimes if everybody understands the voting system when they go in to vote. I'm joined by Paddy Smith to go through, I suppose, some of the vagaries of the Irish PR STV voting system, Paddy, and how well to use your vote. I suppose, first of all, what is PR STV?
Well, PR STV in the multi-seat constituency, to give it its full grandiose title, is a system which is actually very simple to use. It may be more complicated to count or to operate as a political party in terms of maximising the benefit for it. But in terms of the individual voter, it's extremely simple. It's a system that is used in very few other places, notably in some Australian Indian elections and in Malta. And over the last few years in Scottish and British regional elections in Northern Ireland. So it's a relatively rare system. Its main feature is that it is proportional, that is to say that there is a pretty good relationship between how people vote and the number of seats that their favoured parties will get. Although it is not completely proportional, there is a system that the Israelis use called the list system, which is much more proportional, and there's a system used by the Germans which is favoured by a number of Irish parties, which balances a list system with proportional voting in single-seat constituencies. And this is, again, much more proportional, directly proportional. The Irish system is a good compromise because it gives you a lot of choice over who you're going to elect and doesn't leave that in the party's hands.
And obviously it's been criticised a lot, fairly or unfairly, over the last while, and we've been discussing that, and we probably discuss it as time goes on under the next government as well, because there are various proposals for reform knocking around. But this is the system that we've got at the moment. So if I go into my privacy of the polling booth today, how best can I maximise the value of it?
Well, the first thing is that you vote 1, 2, 3, 4 in the order of your preferences. And you can go right down the list. If you are particularly concerned to make sure that somebody should not get elected, for example, as my wife is, she votes from the bottom up.
You figure out how many names are on the ballot sheet. Let's say it's 14. You figure out who's the person you dislike most and you put number 14 beside their name.
And you work your way up to number one or whatever, a combination of those. That is the
Sounds
most
like a good system. Though.
That is the most efficient way of ensuring that somebody is not elected. Now, in terms of your first preferences, most people will simply vote for the person that they prefer. Many people, however, will take advice from their political party, the one that they support, in terms of maximising the number of seats that that party can get. In some constituencies, it's possible for some parties to get more than one seat. They can do that more easily if they split the vote between their candidates evenly. So if you are, for example, in Dunleary in the last election and you wanted to ensure that both Barry Andrews and Mary Hannafin were elected, you would listen to what the local party activists were saying in terms of who you should give number one to and who you should give number two to.
Although the local party activists are not always ad idem on these issues, and they might sometimes be looking to poach votes off each other or talking out of both sides of their mouths, as was alleged happened with Fianna Fáil in Dublin Central the last time out.
This is certainly a problem that parties find it very difficult. Leading candidates are very loath to surrender some of their votes to their running mates because, and it has happened a few times famously in the past, running mates suddenly take off and they find themselves elected and the leading candidate.
Now, regardless of what you say, I don't particularly like to be told what way to vote by a party, even if I am considering voting for that party. Can I try and be a bit cute? For example, can I try and figure out, well, I think that such and such, you know, isn't really in the shop of winning, but I want to make a protest vote and vote for that person, and I know that they'll probably be eliminated, and then where my vote, my number two preference will kick in and really have an impact on who's going to actually make it into a seat? Or might one get too clever and end up wasting one's vote?
One is in a dangerous situation there, because you can do that if you like, if you're absolutely certain that somebody isn't going to get elected. But there are candidates around the place who will do surprisingly well, and you could actually find yourself electing somebody who you don't really want elected. So it's not really an advisable strategy, particularly as nobody's really going to notice your protest. People don't read the results in that way. So you may be doing something which is personally gratifying, but actually it's not very much use in terms of the election.
And what happens to my vote? Say, for example, I vote number one for an individual, and that individual is eliminated. But at the point of elimination, my number two, number three, number four, and number five are already gone. Does the vote automatically go to my number six choice?
It goes through the list to the first available preference. In other words, all of those who are either elected or eliminated at that stage are disregarded, and the vote, whether it's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, the first available preference then gets the full value of that vote if you're being eliminated. And this can be very useful. It makes big difference in the later counts.
And the full value is one thing, but the other way in which votes, of course, can be transferred or transfers come into play is if there is a surplus, if a candidate is elected, passes the quota, and their surplus is deemed to be able to have a relevant impact on the remaining candidates in the field. And I've always found it a bit confusing about how that is actually calculated.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that once a candidate has reached a quota, there will be a number of their votes which are actually not necessary to them. And the things about our voting system is it allows those votes, those surplus votes, to be redistributed then in proportion to the second preferences expressed for that candidate.
What does in proportion mean in that case?
That means that if there's 100 votes of a surplus and when we count up the second preferences of that candidate, we find that 50 of them are going to one candidate, the 50 will be transferred to that candidate.
That, let's say Joe Bloggs, as you say, he gets 1,200 votes, he only needed 1,100, there's 100 to be divvied out. Yeah. Is that calculated on all his votes, or do they just take a bundle of votes off the top to figure out what, you know, which votes get transferred?
No, it's calculated. This is where it gets very complicated. If we're talking about somebody who is elected entirely with first preferences, then all of that person's votes are calculated, are recounted, and their second preferences worked out, and the votes are divvied up in terms of those second preferences. On subsequent counts, if somebody is elected just short of a quota and is elected through the transfer of somebody else's surplus, only that bundle will be counted to determine subsequent preferences. So it depends on the stage of the count that you're at.
So that's a less than perfect system, because you could, for example, see a geographical quirk that could send a bundle from a candidate to another candidate, and that geographical quirk might not be completely representative of the overall vote for.
This is true, and there is a slight difference in the Dáil and the Senate in the way these votes are counted, but it's very, very small statistical difference, because we're talking about a surplus which is already a reduced vote, and a surplus of a surplus.
So you get down to the heel of the hunt, and it's down to four or five votes across the whole thing. People might look to go back and have a full recount.
And they have been known to do this.
Indeed. I have to say, I love this stuff. I could talk about it for hours, and we will be doing so over the weekend, by the way, on Saturday and Sunday, as we follow the count. I think it's one of the glories of the Irish electoral system is the count, and you watch how the permutations play out across the 43 constituencies. But Paddy, thanks very much for explaining that to us today.